I had moved soccer strategically.
Yes, you did.
You moved him. Well, I promoted him.
Ooh. I see who really cares.
See, now you can have access to our podcast guest's super secret exclusive chat, LOL.
LOL.
Just the casual LOL.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 30 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about experiences that we have had. This is Kingsley Mack and Sin this lovely evening. How are you, Sin?
Magical. I have to throw that in every now and again. So my the folks at my new job basically they're like, magical, that's weird, that's like, and the other manager, he was like, that kind of like sounds like saying you're delicious. And I was like, no, that's not the, that's not the same thing. But anyway,
yeah, magical just sounds like you're doing good, you're happy.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm excited this week. We have a very special guest. We have Mr. Real Sakuragi. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, Sin's magical, and I suppose I am magical also. I'll go
better now that you're here.
Yes. We are happy to have you. We'll just kind of say, like, we've been very excited to do an episode that's a little more focused on PvP and Crucible. And of course, we're going to talk about a few things, other things that have happened this last week. But that's some of the stuff we'll be talking about tonight. But first, before we get into all that, we always like to ask our guests just a little bit about, you can kind of take it wherever you want, but like how you started getting into gaming and Destiny.
Name, address, social, your full profile, body type, hair color, eye color.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I go to school, you know. Yeah.
We'll dox you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait for SWAT to bang on my door, you know? what got me into gaming? That's, you know, it's such an ambiguous question because there's so many different aspects to it. Some of the earliest stuff I can remember is, like, my parents both owned a PS1, and me and my brother would play Crash Bandicoot and try and, like, do it the best we could. Like, that game was hard, man. Like, Crash Bandicoot 1, 2, and 3 on PS1, those are hard games. Like, they're not easy platformers. So I think that's kind of where it started. And then it evolved. Like, my mom bought my dad a PlayStation 2 for their anniversary, I think, which was really funny. I remember going to this store with my mom, and my mom's like, yeah, we're gonna get this for your dad because, like, he'll really enjoy it. I was like, okay, cool. Like, and in my head I'm like, yeah, I get to use this too, like. So with the PS2 definitely came more like Crash Bandicoot and stuff, and then my, like, probably around the age of 8, my dad, like, busted out his old Super Nintendo, and I was able to play, like, some solid titles, like A Link to the Past. That's probably still my favorite Zelda game, like, to this day. Like Madden, and, like, shoot, what else did we play? We played some other games too.
Just those alone. Those are great. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah. But that was that. And then kind of the stuff that got me into shooters was one of my friends from church. He had invited me over and went over to his house. And I noticed he had a PlayStation 2. And he introduced me to this game called Star Wars Battlefront. And he and I would just like play for hours and hours up in like late nights, like Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. And that was my game. And I went and bought it for myself for my PlayStation 2 back home. And then it gradually evolved into me buying a PlayStation 4 with my brother, the white one that came with Destiny at the time. And I picked up Destiny right around the time of... I think Crota's End was out just a week before or a week after I got my PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing around the time of Dark Below. And at the time, I actually did not have PlayStation Plus for the entire year one of Destiny. So I played a bunch of single player stuff. And let me tell you, I never had to farm for materials after that whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think... It stuff that just gradually evolved into different things got me into Destiny and through the people that I met and like my parents, which is kind of a weird concept to some people, but it was fun.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, this may be a funny question. Does your dad still game?
Yeah, actually. he'll come home from work some days, and my brothers have a Switch, and they have Fortnite on the Switch. And my dad actually does... play a round or two of Fortnite some nights. So it's funny to see him play because he's not the best at like first-person shooters, but like he tries very hard and he actually does pretty decent. But you know, so my dad still kind of plays. My mom definitely stopped though. So
yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the generation we're living in now, and I'm a little bit on the older side. We joke in the Discord. I'm not a boomer, Sharks, but, you know, we have the whole gen, and I have some kids that are pretty young, but they're starting to get into gaming, and it's just kind of great. Like my generation of growing up, I feel like my parents didn't do any gaming because systems weren't even really out then, but. It's kind of cool to see it being a multi-generational thing now. I think it's great. And it's getting a little more acceptance, right? As long as you don't do overboard with it. It's kind of cool that it's not like this black sheep thing anymore where it's you game, that's weird, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like for my dad, he does it when like he's really stressed from work and it gives him like an hour to an hour and a half of just bliss where he can kind of do what he wants. So that's definitely nice for him.
Oh, that's great. That's a fun story. And then, you said kind of when you got into Destiny and have you generally liked the game Destiny? Was there any times, which is a fair question, sometimes we had these like where you're like, didn't really love the game. You kind of stepped away for a while or how have you thought of it in general?
I've been pretty consistent with Destiny. I definitely played through Taken King and Rise of Iron and it in all of it. For sure. And I was able, when D2 came out, I played the alpha, or the beta, one of the two that came out and played the beta and, you know, I was like, this is awesome. And D2 released. And I'm like, man, I'm still having fun. And then like Curse of Osiris hit, at a time where I got very busy. So I like kind of took a hiatus from gaming in general and just kind of like stopped playing Destiny for a bit. But the person that actually got me back into this, this is actually a funny story. So I didn't have a huge connection to like clans and stuff, but I was interning at this church. And I was talking to the youth pastor, and I noticed like he had a Destiny background on his computer screen. I'm like, oh, do you play Destiny? He's like, yes, I love it. And so we get to talk about Destiny.
I know. I'll let you finish the story, but I know who you're going to say the name is.
Yeah. So like, So we start talking, and we talk about it the entire time I'm there. Like, and the headmaster's looking at us like, you guys are like geeks. And we're like geeking out, and it's great. But so this guy asked me to like join this clan because he's like this leader of this big clan. He's like, yeah, the clan name is Destiny Reset Podcast. And I was like, oh, I've heard the podcast name, but I didn't know you all had a clan. And he's like, yeah, you should join. So I joined. And lo and behold, this guy, some of you might know him, is Joe Meaden. Yeah. And it was just such a phenomenal way to like get back into Destiny. Like just a few weeks before Warmind, he kind of like gave me a few other games to try out. So like I was trying out Diablo at that time too, and got into a little bit of Black Ops too. So like I've become more eclectic because of Joe. So it's been great. It's been great to have him as a friend.
Yeah, no, that's really great. Yeah, and I've played, I know Joe gets busy at times, but I have some very memorable experiences, and I know you've been in some of these too, but trying to do some high-end Nightfall scoring
oh yeah,
maxing in Nightfalls is what I love doing. That's pretty fun stuff. So,
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So knowing Joe Meaden, and that might explain why Burning Wing trusts you with his account for Crucible.
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. But Joe, yeah. Joe's an upstanding guy, and if any of you ever get a chance to talk to him, like. He is such an incredible guy, like has typically does not have very negative views on Destiny and has the most positive attitude towards the game that you will ever see. So, but he's great for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great history, great, you know, kind of how you got into Destiny and the Destiny Reset group. And, I'm sure that's how we originally kind of met you, was through Destiny Reset. We're all originally Destiny Reset people also, which, by the way, just we spend just a couple minutes. We did have a request from a member in our group, like said, you guys talk about Destiny Reset a lot, and I'm just wondering what that all means. And we might have mentioned it a little in the past, but basically me too. I mean, like with a lot of people, I started listening to Destiny podcasts as a way to find people to play with. And I just did a search, and back when I was searching, Destiny Reset was really the only one around, and started listening to it and found out they have Discord groups where you can join up with people to play. And so basically it was just a great, great meeting place for a lot of people, and give them total props. You know, even though we have our own clan and podcasts, like I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Destiny Reset starting these groups. I probably would have just been going off of weird LFG, you know, who knows how.
Oh, yeah.
So I highly recommend anyone listening to this to also check out, if you haven't been listening to Destiny Reset podcast, please do so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Link to the Past. I was totally thinking when you said that, there was one day about a year ago, I totally sat down and Googled speed run or YouTube to speed run of that video game. And that was one of the quickest times I've ever seen that game played.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it is a very good game. So that was a good one to go with. Or a good one to play.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites, for sure. Forever will be. I think even with my playtime through Breath of the Wild, like, I don't know. Link to the Past just holds that nostalgia in my heart. So.
I still never could get too much through Breath of the Wild. I think I only played maybe 30 or 40 minutes in it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It's not bad. It's really different, though. But give it a shot if you ever do find the motivation for it. So.
Yeah. I just really need to find the time is all.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, great. Well, one of the things we should just get into now is let's talk about Shadowkeep, and most specifically, we want to talk about the Crucible tonight. But let's just, so we can get this out of the way, anything we've been working on. I mean, it can be, we'll save Crucible, you know, like maybe weapons you're working on, everyone, but like any PvE stuff we've worked on since we've last recorded, Sin. I know you're working on your Dreambreaker
rocket launcher.
Rocket launcher.
I still need the scout from the from the Vex waves, the Ikora scout weapon. There's still a lot that I need to do. I just had the Cerberus plus one catalyst drop right before recording tonight.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm only seasonal rank 12, so that tells you how little I've played this past almost 2 weeks. But I was watching a streamer today, and it just kind of, in comparison, seeing them at 40-something rank, and I'm at 12, like, I'm a little bit behind.
But isn't that great? You can still be on 12 for not playing that much. They really were correct when they said you don't have to spend a lot of time to get a rank up.
Yeah, there's definitely truth in that. There is truth in that comment. You don't have to spend a lot of time.
Be sure to get all your bounties. That's the number one thing. No matter what you're doing, always have some bounties that you could be actively working on, and then that'll help out a lot. Yeah, not too much that I'm working on right now, other than I'm kind of starting to focus on some of the ritual weapons. And the Vanguard one, you have to get solar kills, machine gun kills, and just points. And I noticed the points go faster if you go into Nightfalls, which is nice. But boy, the machine gun kills, I feel like I've been in lots of strikes in Nightfall so far, and I'm only at 13%. I'm like, this is going to take a while. So that'll be a little bit of a grind. But I want to get all the ritual weapons this time, because A, they're easier to get, and B, it'll they're required for the
Undying title.
Yeah, yep. So that's definitely what I'm working on.
Yeah, and you said earlier that is time-gated, correct?
Yeah, I don't believe you'll be able to work on getting that title afterwards, because Vex Offensive, in theory, will be gone.
Interesting.
Yeah. Any PvE things you're working on, Soccer, or anything you're having fun with in the game?
The thing with Destiny is that I rushed through a lot of PvE content, like right when it goes through. So I have most. I have all the Vex Offensive weapons and armor. I have almost all the Dream Bane armor, and well, I have all the armor. I think I'm two weapons away from all that. I've been enjoying the Nightmare Hunts, actually, especially after they released the the Hero?
Yeah, the Heroic. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so different with some of these different mods that we get from, like, the Gate Lord's Eye. And it really, like, makes you think about your loadout just for a second before you go in. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I have this loadout or this role with this gun, and I just know it's good. You know, it makes you think, like, okay, like, what perks am I going to go into? Like, how's my team? What's my team, like, having going into this too? So I think I've been enjoying that, just being able to like sit down and like just think just a second rather than just like, oh yeah, I'm overpowered and over leveled. So
yeah. Any of the Vex or Boon weapons stand out to you that you kind of enjoy right now?
I'm definitely enjoying the Vex 180 hand cannon. I think it's called Optulent, I think.
Optative, I think, or
yeah, something like that. And it just feels so much better than like the Aikelios hand cannon. It's the same concept, right? 180 void hand cannon in your energy.
The kick is different, and I feel like, I don't know, it feels pretty stable.
Yeah. I think for me too, it's like noises of guns like affect how I shoot them. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like basically you don't mute the game and then go pew pew like
no.
All of them. Okay.
No.
Sorry, just random funny thought when you were saying that. I had to just like, let it out.
No. But I've been enjoying that one, and I'm enjoying the sniper rifle from the moon as well. Mm-hmm. And it feels kind of clunky. So if I had snapshot with it, I feel like it would be better, but I like the way the gun feels though. And definitely, what's the hand cannon from the moon called?
Loud Lullaby, I think, the 110.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That feels great. I love the sight on that too. It's just like that half circle with like just the red dot, and it feels crisp. So yeah.
I've been having a lot of fun with all these weapons. Like, this is really finally, just even being a PvE guide, gotten me out of my, where I was just stuck in this hole where, you know, I love loaded questions, and it still does work, by the way, but paired with like Outbreak or Breakneck or something like that. Now I've actually been running, you know, Scout. I like the Vex Scout rifle too. Running Scout and then the SMG or hand cannon and snipe. I mean, I've just been trying these builds finally that I've always been meaning to do, but I've been having so much fun with all the weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really a step in the right direction for like Destiny weapons as a whole. Like, we're stepping away from like these pinnacle weapons that we're like so accustomed to. Like, I've put down Recluse for a long time now and just trying out different things. And it feels great. It feels great to like experience that again.
Yeah. And that's because it's so damn expensive to keep up with leveling it up every 5 to 10 levels.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But that's okay. It does create a little more variety because of that. So it's not a bad thing. It allows people to see what else is out there.
Yeah. And there's still, I just got the moon shotgun, which is pretty fun. And then there's still the moon fusion rifle and pulse rifle, which I believe we don't have yet. So I'm looking forward to trying those also. Well, let's move on to the Crucible. Now, I hopped in, I'll just tell you my story and then we can talk about thoughts in general. We hopped in shortly after Shadowkeep came out. I hopped in with you for some of the 3v3 elimination Crucible labs, and that was kind of fun, at least for me. I hadn't done anything like that since D1, just one or two trials ever. You know, 3v3. I didn't do a 4 in D2. And I get it. I mean, I see how it's like the pacing of it is fun if you have someone that's really good, which, by the way, thank you for carrying me. It was fun to stay behind you in a backpack position and peek out and do some team shots, but generally stay alive and not worry about four other people coming around the corner trying to kill you, you know, because it's just 3v3.
We're all a team. We all do our parts. No,
it was fun. And I think we did, didn't we? I don't know what the term is, but we went flawless on that.
Yeah.
I think every round, but it was fun. And then we hopped into some quick play and other things. So now that it's been out for a few more days, I assume you've done it some more. What are your thoughts on Crucible? What are you kind of noticing, fun things or issues that might be popping up?
Ooh. Good question. Fun things for sure are changing comp game mode specifically to survival and 3v3. I think threes for most people have just been ingrained in like a lot of our heads as like D1 veterans. Having that trials like kind of mentality. Because you already know the pacing. You've been through trials, and it's just a different type of pacing than fours. Because like with fours, it's just kind of like, am I going to get team shot? Are they going to like really split up and then collapse on you, the straggler? So I think like that's a good change. Another like interesting change, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, is having playlists for either connection based or skill based. And I know this has been like a huge talk between a lot of the people in the PvP community and some of the casual PvP players. Like, we need either a connection based one or a skill based one. And the skill based one, I find, has created a lot more lag. Because you have to find people within your skill level, and it's searching for its bandwidth is going further. So you're looking for, you know, I could be all the way in East Coast, and I could match with someone on the West Coast, and they could be like jumping around like they're on a pogo stick. But
I've heard that, and we even I saw some of that when I was playing with you that first night, and then I'm sure you've noticed more. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that. Yeah, like you say, a pogo stick. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this since D1, where I'm pretty far back. I'm watching this person run across the field, and all of a sudden they teleport back like 30 yards, and they start running forward again. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. So I find myself just going into more of the connection-based one, where it's just a rotation of Clash, Control, and Supremacy. And I'm just enjoying myself a lot more, because it's a good mix of people who are semi-connection-based, but also semi-skill-based, too. So there are times when I'll have a challenging match, and there are times when I'll do well, and then there are times where I'll just completely dominate. So I think, like, some of, like, those quality of life changes to the overall aspect of Crucible have been really beneficial, for sure. And there's like a million different like subtopics I could get into too. With
well, I if you don't mind, let's talk a second about looking at this Crucible director, because it's confusing to me.
Yeah,
and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, I guess, if you count Iron Banner. There's a little side one off to the side too, and like
definitely have some choices. That is for sure.
I mean, do you get it? Like, if someone's like doesn't do Crucible a lot, or is a new player, it's like, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah, definitely. When you hover over a playlist, it will tell you. Actually, I actually took a second to like read this. Because there is a little paragraph that comes up that most of us just don't read, because we're like, oh, like, there's the banner. I'm going to go play Control. But it'll tell you, like, match up against players and a connection-based matchmaking. So that's most of them. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Skill-based matchmaking is most of them. So the big, like, Control banner in the middle is connection-based. And then the Scorched, well, this week, the top left corner and the top right corner, they rotate weekly. So this week it's Team Scorched, and I forget the other one off the top of my head. I think it's Lockdown, possibly.
So those rotate, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Control always stays the same, which is right in the center.
And that's the connection-based, right, you said?
That's actually skill-based.
Oh, that's skill-based, sorry.
Yep.
Okay.
Skill-based. Yeah, yep. And then off to the left is Rumble, which I think is skill-based as well. And I would imagine so, if it's Rumble, that it should be skill-based. Then off to your right of the Control banner, we have the we have two ways that you can play comp. The big one, the big circle, is Survival, that lets you match up against fire teams. And then there's a small little circle off to the bottom right corner of that circle. And it's for single player queue only. So you will not get match made against fire teams. It's all blueberries, all singles. And I have found that I have had better connection in the single player one. So it's been nice.
Good to know.
And then bottom right hand corner is that connection based playlist I was telling you all about, where it's a rotation. Control, Supremacy, and Clash. And it's pure connection-based. So, you know, you're going to get a mix of skill levels in there. And then bottom left is your private matches. So if y'all want to, like, have fun, do a private match, there for you. And then I think that's it.
Yeah, top middle is the Crucible Labs, right?
I think
right there, yeah.
Yep.
And then bottom middle would be, like, Iron Banner, I assume.
Yes, I would think it goes there, so... Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I mean, I'm sure I could have figured that out, but I was too lazy to to look at everything. So, and I knew we'd have you on.
Yeah, for sure. So. When in doubt, read it out.
Can we quiz you now on all that? Do you remember all that?
Shoot, guardians don't die.
Yes.
I mean, it is a mess.
And
I have my game on. Obviously, because everything, my whole setup's all together. I was looking at the director as you were talking about it, and I think the I'm assuming the mode for single player is called Freelance.
Yes.
Okay. So It is. There's a lot of choices. It is not easy. I mean, the classic mix I can see in private matches, they kind of made visually unappealing all the way at the bottom, because I guess those kind of draw your attention to the not so fantastic modes or the not competitive modes. Mm-hmm. So I do see they made some visual cues there on the director. I have not jumped in personally yet into Crucible. I would love to get into Crucible. I was watching somebody earlier play on one of the D1 maps, and I was like, oh man, I really want to get in there and play on that map. That looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a pretty positive experience overall. Like I said earlier, my only negative experience has been lag. And you know what? With the skill-based matchmaking, that's going to happen. And that's perfectly okay. It really is. But it's hard sometimes when you need to play skill-based with a fire team in competitive, and you're just getting pogo-sticked. It's rough. But
yeah, a little upsetting, I assume.
Yeah.
Now, did I hear also that the Crucible Labs elimination is slightly changing each week?
I think so. I have not looked at it this week at all. I haven't had time because I've been grinding out my Randy Throwing Knife. So almost done with that.
I did have a question about that too. So yeah.
Tell us how to get that thing.
Tell us how to get it. I mean, everyone can look it up, but we should probably remind everyone how to get it and how easy you feel it is to get.
Yeah. So the whole quest is picked up from Shax, like most of the pinnacle weapons from past seasons have been. You'll go to Shax and he'll have a quest for you. I don't remember the name of the quest, but it requires 450 scout rifle kills. You need to earn 2,100 glory. That doesn't have to mean you hit fabled rank. You just accumulate glory over time, like you did with Revoker, for those of you who did that quest. And then you need a combination between eliminations and medals. And this is probably the longest part of the quest, because you need 14,000 combined eliminations and medals from Crucible for this step.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
14,000
or 1,400?
No, 14,000.
What?
Yeah.
We are talking 14 and 3 zeros, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just to clarify, 14 comma 0, 0, 0.
Let me double check my Ishtar.
Where, how far are you? Like, do you have a bar where you're at, or much you put into it?
I have my scout rifle kills done, and I have my glory earned. Yes, it is 14,000 enemies defeated in medals. I'm currently at 10,000. I'd say I've put about 8 hours into Crucible. Maybe 10.
I guess that goes. I mean, yeah, technically it's not hard, but it's still going to take some time. I guess that kind of confirms what I was saying about the Vanguard one too. I didn't look up what the amount was, but I think the amount of machine gun kills you have to get is pretty darn large. So that's probably why I'm only at 10%.
Yeah, that sounds intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. The scout rifle kills and the glory earned will be your easiest part of this, for sure. Especially with freelance survival, you know, you're able to go at glory at your own pace, and you're going to get people with similar glory situations according to like your elo stuff, so it'll take into account like your KD, your KDA, how well you've been doing the past few matches. So kind of like sets up like this little profile for you to help match you up with like similar profiles. So it's kind of like it's like a dating app, right?
Nice.
With Bungie being the matchmaker. But
tell my wife, Star Tien, I'm doing the dating Crucible app. She's like, you do your thing.
Yeah, but I it hasn't been a bad quest. I used Mida for my scout rifle kills because Mida 4 taps very quickly. And it's been enjoyable. There's a lot of people kind of working on it because it's kind of easy. It's just more time consuming than it is hard.
Sure. Oh, that's fair enough. I wonder, I should have done some research, but I know some people have it already. I can't imagine it being some super great weapon, but I wonder what people generally think about it.
I tried to grind it out before we started this recording and everything, but from what I've seen, it seems very situational, like Redrick's broadsword. From when I've been killed by it, or like they're trying to use it against me. If you know what you're doing, you could be potent with it because it's got rapid hit and kill clip with it, which just speeds up your reload for kill clip. And once you got that kill clip active, that thing hits hard and fires fast. So
like any situation, if you can get the first shot with it and know what you're doing, then you can at least do some work with it. So
yeah, for sure.
Well, that's cool. I mean, there was a lot of talk about, oh no, we're not having the pinnacle weapons anymore and whatever. I don't know that we need to get into that whole discussion, but at least there's still something to go for, you know, and
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think these roles is definitely the better way to go because it's a really good set role that you know is reliable. And it's unique either between its fire rate or some of the different combinations that you get. So I think it's better than having these pinnacle weapons that just have these massively different types of perks that just change the game so dramatically. So I think it's better for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And speaking of that, I mean, it's probably too early in the season to say because people are working on their scout rifle kills. People are just trying out different weapons. But I'm always excited to hear, even though I don't play Crucible as much, is like, oh yeah, what's the meta, right? What do people want to run? Is it still shoddy sniper or, I mean, hand cannon? I hear hand cannon, people are a little bit mad because the damage fall off. But what are you thinking it might turn out to be?
I've seen a lot of hand cannons, especially between the 140 and 150 archetypes. Or specifically like Thorn. I've seen Thorn a lot. Because of the way the recoil pattern got changed with the whole TWAP, I don't remember exactly how it's worded to explain it best over a podcast. Because it's kind of confusing unless you see it, right? And feel it. But I've been using Spades, Ace of Spades myself, and I've I went like 20-1 in a survival match earlier with it. So I've seen a lot more like 140 and 150 hand cannons rather than the 180s, which is a nice change. Shotguns are always still around. Aaron tills here and there. I have not seen a lot of sniping going on. And I just don't know if that's because of some of the faster paced lobbies that I get put in. The consistent thing right now, at least, has been hand cannons and scout rifles for sure.
Yeah. And there's so many hand cannons and they're good enough. I mean, they're definitely.
Oh yeah.
Hit your shots, which is always my thing, of course, but I tend to do okay of all the hand cannons with Ace of Spades also, but I do want to at least bring in some more Ariana's Vow. I just need lots more practice. The scope was just bothering me, but I do want to bring in Loud Lullaby and or the 180 just to, for kicks, just to try them out to get more practice. So,
oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
Ready to do some rock and rolling in Crucible Sin. Are we ready to grind this all out?
I mean, it's not level based, so I'm game to do anything in Crucible. they did I don't think we touched on it yet, but they didn't make it much easier with competitive, especially if you're solo queuing because of the freelance mode, but they also made floors to the glory.
I think what they did And I haven't experienced this because I think realistically, I hit 2300 glory today. And I think I only lost 2-3 matches. And, you know, someone's probably going to go look at my stats and be like, well, I actually, you lost like 5 or 6. But I think if I remember correctly, if you say you hit heroic, you cannot drop below heroic, even if you keep losing, which is hard to do now because before Fabled, you actually only lose like 8 to 12 glory if you lose, and you gain so much before Fabled too, because it's trying to push the good players like out of Fabled, so that those lower glory people with like lower KDAs and lower KDs have a better chance and have a better like experience grinding up to 2100. Mm-hmm. And the game will recognize like after a while, okay, this guy's going like 20-1 like for the past 3 games, mm-hmm. but his stats don't say that. So we know someone else is not using that account. So it'll push him out. It's a really good system, and I'm glad they implemented it because I've heard so many good things about my competitive experience. It's just like been so much more freeing. I'm having a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun solo queuing, and I'm just like, it's really good.
This is what I meant to say this earlier, but the solo player queue for comp, holy cow. I don't know why I haven't done that yet, because it's the same thing also what they kind of did. In my opinion, you don't have to have a team, so I don't have to worry about like looking like a scrub with 3 other or with 2 other people. You know, I can just go in and practice on my own and not feel as pressured. I also love, in a similar aspect, how now the low level Nightfalls will match make with people.
Yes,
just these two changes alone are just such good quality of life changes where you can be. I mean, it's always better playing with the team, but either way, but there's times where you're like, okay, I know it's better with the team, but why don't they just make it a little easier for the solo player? And now they have for these two things.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think the other thing too with like people's conception of like, oh, I'm going to look bad if I'm playing with these other people. Like if you're playing with the right crowd, like especially people in Destiny Reset, even in y'all's, Discord too, like
chill. Yeah.
People are so chill and positive, like they only want to see you improve. So definitely like having a more positive mentality going into Crucible will not only it will help your game out so much better too. It's like anything in life, really, like looking at it with a positive attitude will just improve like your overall being and outlook towards that thing.
Very true. I agree. Well, we have also some late breaking news. Let's talk about the heavy ammo changes. They made a server side change where in Control, the old way was first spawn at 45 seconds and then every 60 seconds. And now they bumped it up to every 120 seconds. So basically 2 minutes versus 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then Clash and Supremacy, the old way was first at 15 and then every 60, and now it's the first is at 60, so 1 minute in, and then every 2 minutes after that. Cosmos said that heavy ammo changes are coming later this month to the 3v3 survival. They're unable to implement them now due to the lack of server side settings for that, but the amount of ammo that's granted will also be reduced to match elimination in 6v6. Here's how that will look. So in 3v3 survival, the old way was first at 30 and then every 60, but the new way will be 60 and 60. So basically every minute. So, So definitely less often. I think this could be a good middle ground for people that say they don't want any heavy versus people that are saying it's coming too often.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think this kind of relates to like how Armor 2.0, and this is like a whole nother discussion, but like when heavy is so prevalent, like it just turns into mayhem. Like the only difference between mayhem and old like Control and stuff was purely super regeneration rates.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about D1, right? And you pulled heavy with a machine gun. Heck, you got swarm, early on in D1, and you had like 100 bullets in that thing, and you could just have heavy the rest of the game. So reducing when heavy spawns definitely like controls the game. There's more primary play. There's more special play. You get so many different unique plays without just crutching on Wardcliffe Coil, Deathbringer, or like Hammerhead, you know. So it's definitely good.
Yeah, and I guess their thought is, I mean, of course, there's people that say no heavy at all, but Cosmo also said regarding survival, we saw a lot of feedback about making heavy one round or being removed altogether, but we wanted to make sure there was still an incentive for players to maintain map control and not camp at the edge of the map once they have a life advantage, but we'll continue to monitor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like they know what they're talking about, but, you know, it's always a back and forth, ebb and flow, like what people want versus what they're seeing versus what people like to take advantage of, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like you look at like D2's history just as a whole, right? We wanted PvE to be harder. We wanted Crucible to be harder. So what did Bungie do? They gave us that. They gave us 4v4 trials. Like our weapon system was 2 primaries. with our heavy weapons being like shotguns and snipers. And when the community played this, after like a few weeks, they're like, okay, we're done. Like, it wasn't fun. Some people stuck around for it, but like others had a frustrating time with it. And they felt very limited. I kind of remember feeling that way just a bit, but the game has changed so much. With option and just overall like ease of play, and there's so many different ways to like play Destiny now, and it's great.
Yes, agreed. You know, even though, you know, we say the director screen can look confusing, as long as it can work, it's good having a lot of modes and options, just like how I feel like it's good having 4 Nightfall modes now, right? And you can just pick which one you want to go in if you just want a casual experience, or if you can play more sweaty and play a harder light version.
So. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, they simplified it where you don't have to, if you're focusing on the nightmare ordeal, you don't have to focus on the card and the burn and all that stuff. It's just more of a pure, yes, there's modifiers that Bungie builds in, but you don't pick all them. It's just a more pure experience, which is kind of refreshing. I remember sitting in orbit and being like, okay, what are we going to do, this and that? And it was fun while we had it. And you can still do that with traditional Nightfall. But I'm like, it's kind of nice now. Like, we don't have to worry about that. Let's just go into Nightfall and have fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like, I feel more control of what I can and can't do. Even though, like, the game still limits me sometimes with, like, power level, obviously. But, like, it's I can do what I want. In the sense that, like, there's so many things to do. And it's been really, really good to have those options.
Yeah. What about the new map? Have you gotten it a bit? How do you feel about that new Crucible map?
Fragment. It is a map. It's really different. 'Cause there's a lot of small corners and tight spaces that you don't think are there. But they actually exist, and actually, like half of that map is not used when playing like Clash or like 3v3. Everyone kind of fights in this like concentric middle area where like heavy spawns, and like we have like in 3v3s, like you want to have heavy control because that's where map control is. But like, there's so many like wide flank routes you can take, and it's really unique. And I don't know. I know Sin hasn't dipped into Crucible, but I don't know if you kind of noticed that too with the few rounds we played on it, Kingsley.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did notice, I was kind of staying in that one area, and I did also notice there was a lot of other routes that I didn't get the opportunity to take. So I hear what you're saying, and I would love to explore it some more.
Yeah. I think it's a really good map for a lot of different things. Sixes kind of feel hectic on it, but that kind of makes the map because it's a small map on purpose. So,
Yeah. And then Widow's Court. And then what's the name of the other one that I know you don't like as much?
Twilight Gap.
Twilight Gap. Yes. I was trying to remember that name earlier. I thought I liked it more, but then when I was even playing it the other day, I was like, oh yeah, this one's kind of weird.
Yeah. Widow's Court. Such a good map. There's so many different angles. There's actually kind of four lanes technically to the traditional Destiny 3 lane map. but it just brings back a lot of memories from Trials and just D2 or D1 as a whole. And like, I even still find myself finding like different positions to try and hit people from playing on that map now. Now, Twilight Gap was never my favorite map. I really wish they would have added like Exodus Blueback, because that was one of my favorite Earth maps. But Twilight Gap is just shotgun mayhem.
Yeah,
it's just tight corners, tight spaces. I'm sure, I don't know if you all know Davis from Destiny Reset, but mm-hmm. Davis would love that map. He's a shotgun guy.
Gotcha. So. Well, we'll have to play with him sometime and run shotguns.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, great. Anything else you want to talk about with Crucible or things you've noticed or anything else in the game? You know, feel free.
I've really appreciated Armor 2.0 and how it's had an impact on Destiny 2 Crucible as a whole. Being able to... And right now, we're still kind of unlocking mods, right?
There's still a lot we're all figuring out. At least me, I'm like, gosh, I don't even have time figuring out the mods. I'm just swapping out armor so much.
Yeah, but the unique thing is, too, is like, not only are there like so many different mods, but there's certain armor types that work with certain guns. So like if you have a void charged, let's say legs, right? You're not gonna like have access to like machine guns, shotguns, bows, or pulse rifle stuff. If you have a void thing, you can only have access to like hand cannons, grenade launchers, scout rifles, sniper rifles, and sidearms. Which is, it's so different. So it makes you like pay attention not only to like the stats on your armor, but also like what it's charged with, to like really like make sure, okay, like not only does this look cool, but like it's solar. So now I can use like scavs for my fusion rifle or like SMGs, you know? So it's really cool. And I know I'm kind of going off topic, but.
No, whatever you want
to talk about. As it relates to Crucible, like, it's kind of left some of this armor 1.0 exotics and stuff like behind. You can still wear it. You're just not going to get the same amount of stats and perks as you will like moving on. So like this kind of like deals with the problem with one-eyed mask a little bit that people often complain about, or like stompies, or you know, getaway artists, or like Ophidian aspects. So we're trying to like shift our armor and like what we're so used to. So it's been really unique to see. Typically people now only get like 2 to 3 supers a match. If you're really, really slaying. But most people only get 1 to 2. So it's been nice to like see, yes, like this is a first person shooter, not a first-person shooter and ability game, you know? I mean, it is, but it's not the focus of it during Crucible. It's more like, how well can you use your guns? How are you utilizing the perks on your guns? So it's been enjoyable.
Yeah, so on that discussion, and I know some people have been upset as they've learned more, yeah, you need certain affinities for certain weapon perks on your armor. But I'm okay with that, some in theory. I just don't love the idea of like, okay, if some weapons are solar, some are void, I got to have 2 sets of the armor based on what weapons I want to run. It just seems like a pain to me swapping out different legs, you know?
Yeah, and I could see that. But in a sense, we kind of did that with Armor 1.0, right? Like, I had a, for me personally, I know I had a full that was all shotgun. and I would switch to it. I had a full set that was all sniper related. I'd switch to it when I wanted to play with a sniper.
Well, you did because you were good, but I never did for Crucible. I barely did. I did that for Raid. That was my one armor. I get the point. Yeah, you want to spec it out.
Mm-hmm. Right, but even like in that Raid sense, you still do the same thing. Like you switched out
that's true.
Get your scavs, to get your reserves.
When we needed the extra rockets or the grenades on Ribbon. That was the one time I swapped, basically. You're right. Yeah, I think
Galram.
I'm just thinking like space in my inventory and like just more to like mentally think about like, oh, now I gotta have two or three pairs of all this crap. But I guess it's something to grind for, right?
Yeah, but the other thing too is like we already went through this when we went with random rolls again, right? We still looked for the same rolls, but now it's just like they've tweaked it so that we just now need to look at what it's charged with and to know like, okay, like I have all these mods for this charge. Like I know what I can already put on it myself. So I think it's just a different thing we're paying attention to rather than just like a role that we're looking for. So.
Yeah. Well, it's something to look at. And as I'm getting closer and closer to caring about looking at the armor stats. But yeah, some good advice. And I know there's been charts that have been around and little sayings that you can memorize on what weapons for what elements.
Yeah. I was looking at I pulled a paragraph from Forbes.
Yeah.
And was like using this to base my argument off of. Like some of these are really funny, like acronyms, like, do you mind if I read some of these?
Yeah, yes, please. Because
I was just thinking the same thing. I would love to hear these. It brings me back to school. Use this mnemonic device for this. Let's go.
So, like for Ark, all Mara says between Petra and Sadia. Okay, so pretty basic. So that all your Ark stuff has machine guns, shotguns, bows, pulse rifles, and swords. With Void, we have. Very hot Galran seduces stoic Sloan.
Galran and Sloan.
Yeah. So that means with your Void, you've got your hand cannons, your grenade launchers, your scouts, and your snipers and sidearms. I'll be finding myself using Void quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then with Solar, we have sometimes Ada finds Riven sexy.
Just sometimes.
So, yeah, just sometimes. So with your Solar, you have your autos, your fusions, your rockets, your SMGs. So like some of those mnemonics, they're hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that really is. Those are great.
Yeah.
You have them memorized yet, Sin?
No.
Neither do I. But
I'm going to need to write that down and reference later.
I'll just throw a link in the Discord. We'll be good.
Well, yeah, lots to look forward to. We have Iron Banner coming up next week as we're recording this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any changes they told us with Iron Banner, or is this going to be normal Iron Banner?
I think it's just going to be normal Iron Banner. Yeah. It might be skill-based, but it might be connection-based. I'm not sure. Iron Banner's hit or miss. Sure.
Hasn't it normally been skill-based?
I think so. And I think that's why I get frustrated with it so much. Yeah. Because I sometimes just want an easy 6v6 to just like relax in and like try a few things out. But I can't sometimes. And that's okay. Having a skill-based matchmaking. It just creates a harder knowing I have to sweat. And just getting myself into that mentality again.
Yeah. We have that. And then on the 29th, of course, I'm very looking forward to the dungeon, but we also have in Crucible News the new PvP mode, Momentum Control.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be crazy.
Remember what they said about that? What do we know about that?
I actually don't remember anything from them. So I think.
Like a movement based control? Like it's maybe.
Maybe you like you cap a control, like both teams are fighting for one control point, and if one team captures it, then it moves to another location. Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of different things you could do. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What else do we have here? Let's see.
Do you mind?
I don't mind.
So, I know I was messing with Arm the Sharks in the Discord. And on a serious note, I wanted to tell him happy birthday today. So, Sharks, yeah. If you are listening, happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday. I mean, this episode won't be coming out on your birthday, but we are saying it on your birthday, so that's what counts.
Exactly.
It's the thought that counts.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Sharks.
Oh, what is he now? He's 8, I think?
I think so.
Okay.
Still doesn't understand what the Tether Hunter is, but that's okay. At least he can count.
nice.
So... It's all right.
And Sharks, you have to make up your mind by next week. Do you consider yourself a millennial or a Gen Z? Please let us know. Well, what else is good, Sin? Anything else in your notes?
Well, I mean, again, I'm way far behind. Just trying to keep up with everything. We had a little PlayStation before recording tonight. That again was for that rocket launcher, but I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to do, as always. I'm just thinking every time. Discussion. I mean, we talked a lot of PvP tonight. I don't know if there's any final tips you want to leave with anybody, Sagar. But
yes, we did have a request, a late breaking request right before the show from one Dadbot Link. He'd like to give a general purpose tip. You know, it might be something that a lot of us already know, but just even if it seems obvious, what's just a tip that we can use to do well in the Crucible?
Map awareness. I think that is the thing that frustrates me the most, and what I see a lot of typically blueberries just don't pay attention to the map. Some of these maps we've had from D1, and they've changed slightly. Some of them are just straight copies, like Widow's Court or Distant Shore. Their color palette might be different, yeah. But like knowing a map, knowing like where you are in the map and where kind of like where enemy spawns or like where control point spawns or like where heavy spawns, all of that like goes into map awareness and just being able to read your radar properly and just like recognizing like, okay, like this is a long sight distance. Like if I peek out, I might get sniped. Like how can I approach this differently? Maybe I can slide into the space and throw his aim off and still survive. And just knowing like where your teammates are too is really important. I find myself running away from a super sometimes and I get caught up by my teammate who's running right at me and then we both get killed by the super, which is which is sad. But I think map awareness is probably like your first step. Learn the maps. It might take a bit. And that's fine. You might fail. We learn best from failure. But know your maps. Know the ins and outs of like the space, like where you are. Like, can people attack me from the left, right, the front, or back? Like, you know, just knowing that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I agree. And something I'm always telling myself I need to do better with. You're so right, because even like when we're doing raids, I feel the same way, like especially with the Crown of Sorrows raid, there's a very specific pattern in an area where ads will beam in, and that's related to map awareness. And if you can memorize that, it's not that hard. And then you can melt them the second they come in. Because if you don't do that, you're going to get killed. You're going to get overwhelmed, you know, with ads running around the arena. So same thing, Crucible, even though this is more of a variable playing with other live people, at least you can know, okay, well, there's a rock, there's a door over there. So if I need to quickly duck somewhere or...
Yes.
Yeah, where the lanes are. It's a very good point. You know, one of these days, we should just go into private matches. You can kind of like give me a tour of all the maps. And I don't know, that might be boring to you, but I would love to, you know, just kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. And if it takes... that's a great point. If it takes you to go into like a private match, walk around, run around, slide around, things like use all of your abilities. Don't just like run. stick pointed forward, you know, shoulder charge, tighten it. But learn, like, and the only way you're going to learn too is like through experience and actually like dipping your toes in and getting to figure out for yourself like what goes on too. So don't be afraid to fail, for sure.
Just crouch walk all across the map with a shotgun everywhere. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Pointing it up and down, like up and down, it, up and down, up and down.
It works for some people.
Well, good tips, good talking. We like to have a segment on the show where we ask guests, I don't know if you've listened at all, but what a favorite dessert of theirs is. So if you have one, please let us know.
Ooh, this is so hard. And I know I'm sure like a lot of people like say this is so hard, but it actually is. Like, you get put on the spot. But
I know we like putting guests on the spot. We're so mean like that. Because I just go into it quickly too, right? You know, you don't have a chance to think about this. Let us know now.
Yeah, like it was in the fine print that no one reads after I signed my contract.
Right.
And you even mentioned before recording that you caught up in the last few because you've been behind.
I did.
And
yeah.
You know we asked. So there is no excuse.
No, there isn't. But here's the thing. My grandma makes the best lemon bars around. There's no denying it. And it's every once in a while that she does it. And they're just so good. They're not hard and stale. Like, I've had a lot of lemon bars. It's nice, like, thin glaze or icing just over the top of, like, that lemon filling. It's just, yeah. It's so good. It like melts in your mouth. It's phenomenal.
That sounds good. So,
yeah.
We'll accept it.
We'll
because
accept it.
The whole purpose of this is we're making a Guardian Hub cookbook for desserts. It'll be coming out in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's where we plan to make our millions.
Yeah.
All right.
Just kidding.
Let's just start getting a running duck on that right now. We'll figure it out later.
Other ones, we'll have to put yours first. The lemon bars can be on the front cover.
Yeah. But no, I thought all your monetary things would come in from Sin and yours streaming services on raids and stuff.
my once a week streaming.
Yes.
I can say I don't think I've actually gotten a check or a deposit from Twitch yet.
It's coming. It'll be huge. Don't worry about it.
$2.50. It'll be here soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, luckily we love the game and we're doing this because of that reason.
Yes.
Yes. Which is why I started that new job last week. I do this for free. I do that for money.
A day job, Sin. I'm waiting for this to take off.
Oh man,
Sin. There's just no. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we would like to announce. A lot of people on our Discord already know this, but please continue to listen to also the Destiny Digest podcast, Dan Fittany and Company, because we have Mr. Sin as. That he is going to be the correspondent for the Thursday episode reading of the TWAB. Congratulations, Sin.
Yay. Now, he did warn me ahead of time for that podcast as well. He also told me that, unfortunately, the pay is horrible there, too. So, oh, wow. But...
So you're doing all this for free.
Yes, I do it. I do it because I love the game too much.
Too much.
Yeah. I love you too much.
Well, it was some exciting news, so that's,
yeah.
That's good. And we're excited for all the people that have joined the Discord, joined the clan. As we're recording this, we had another person join the Discord, and we're not in this to have like, oh, we have the biggest Discord or anything like that, but I wanted to do this just to have great people to play with and a resource for another resource for people that maybe they're in five Discords and for whatever reason, that particular night, no one's offering to play if they need some help, but hopefully ours can be a resource, you know? So it's never bad being in a lot of Discords, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, for sure. So you meet really so many people.
Yeah, we've met a lot of great people, right? A lot of people we know from Destiny Reset, other groups. Kind of like you run into people that you know from other areas. It kind of just all the connections just branch out.
You know, Kingsley, I've been thinking about this. I think the first time you and I think Sin was there, but I can't remember. I think the first time you and I met, it was definitely through Destiny Reset. And I was trying to run Eater of Worlds.
Okay.
And you joined me, and we like, but it was late at night. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I think Sin was there, but he was falling asleep.
But that was one of the very few I haven't fallen asleep on.
Yeah.
I might have been drifting, but I didn't actually sleep.
Yeah. But it was, we were trying to like pull together people from so many different areas. I remember like looking all over the place. I don't know. But yeah, we ended up not raiding because we couldn't find people. But
yeah, it happens. But
those little things.
Yeah. Oh man, good times, good memories. Well, yeah, like I said, we really appreciate everyone that joins up and plays with others. There's a lot of good people in our Discord that if someone says, hey, I need help with something, then someone will step up and offer to help out with that. Because as we know, it's all about the friend game, right? But you know, that's how I feel about raiding a lot. It is, if it was only for the rewards, then once you get your anarchy, you may never want to raid again. But I still enjoy raiding with people. For the new people that go through, kind of like a Sherpa experience, all the way to the people I played with a million times. We just have fun. We just screw around and do something. And it's the same thing at Crucible too. So again, we really want to thank you this evening for coming on, because I've been meaning to have a more Crucible focused guest for quite a while. So we really appreciate this, Soccer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime. And it's been great to like just sit here and like talk with you guys and like have a conversation. And I think it really speaks to like your guys' character and like how you want to present yourselves to people. And I think it's something that we miss a lot in today's society. So I appreciate that, guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Well, we don't have any new reviews this week, so our housekeeping is short otherwise. So we can just kind of get to the point where we kick Soccer off the show. And actually, we always like to ask our lovely guests, do you have any contact information you want to give people? You don't have to if you don't, but
shoot. I think if I remember correctly, my Twitter should just be Soccer Rookie. So it's the last half of my username. And then my PSN is Real Soccer Rookie, so you can add me on PlayStation. And if you need Crucible help, I'm here to like help talk you through. I'll play matches with you. Don't be like, oh, like he's just gonna give me help, like he's the Sherpa in the mountains. But no, like I'll play with you, like just let me know. And
yes, join our Discord so you can meet up and talk
to yeah. We love marketing. But I also have a YouTube channel. It should just be Soccer Rogi. I'll get a link for you, because I think there's a few other channels titled that. But I just post raw games, and you know, every second, every minute, so you can see like what I did wrong, so I can watch like what I've done wrong, what I've done well, and just a few like special clips and games that I hit. So yeah.
Well, that's great. No, thanks for giving that contact information. Sin, where can the lovely listeners find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Sin_Media and on Twitch at Sin Media, Sin to C-Y-N. And now every Thursday on Destiny Digest.
Damn.
My credentials are growing. Mm-hmm. but it stops there. I come in threes now. Kingsley.
Yes. You can. Did you mean to say where can you find? Where can you
find? Yeah. Yeah. Do your thing. Do your
okay. thing on that one. Yes. Because Santa's laughing too much, but you can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation or on Twitch, and you can find me as MC Kingsley on Twitter. And you can find our show at our website, theguardianhub.com, where we have links to join our Discord and our clan if you're interested. We also have a Twitter account, The Guardian Hub. Well, everyone, thank you very much for listening in on another week of our show. We would like to thank our guest, Soccer, and everyone, have a great week.
Hey, Macarena.
All right. Goodbye.